Good Shepherd Sermon for Easter Sunday, April 12, 2020, Pastor Paul Tallberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Before I have the sermon, I have a little children's devotion. I found out that it's very helpful to help children understand why it is that we gather time and again on Sundays, which are little Easters, and especially on this big day, the Resurrection Day. It's because Jesus conquered death, and we say that. Jesus defeated death for us, and we say that. And then we say, Jesus lives, so I live. And sometimes children don't quite get what we're saying. So I have here a bunch of balloons, because balloons are always important. And I have here a candle. So if you're a child, I want you to see this. I'm going to sit down right here. Whoop, going to fall down right there. And just for today, we're going to say that this candle right here is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, what happens is that we have people that are born. We're like this. And some people are nice and flashy and all really wonderful, and they think it's so good, but they're always afraid of death. You know why they're afraid of death? Because the wages of sin is death. And so God says, well, you sinned. You did naughty things. You said naughty things. You were disrespectful to your elders. You stuck your tongue out at your friends. You're mean. You said bad words. You're lazy. All those things are gone. Yeah, we know they're all about that's bad. Those are called sin. And what happens is when you sin, someone has to pay. And so if we go into death on our own, it's like this. The wages of sin, they got paid for, but then it took off death, but there's nothing left of us. It's a sad thing. We're all broken into bits and pieces. I can't put that together again. So that doesn't put out death, though. Death comes for the next person. And the next person comes, and he's going to be a little bit different. He's going to be a nicer person, a different color. He's going to have a nice, happy outlook in life. He's going to make sure that he does his very, very best. Only one time when he's a little kid did he ever steal something. Only one time when a little kid he ever was snotty. Only one time he disobeyed. But those are sin. You can't get rid of them by washing it off. And so it comes time for death. And death has been paid. He paid in full, but there's sadness on this end. So now Jesus comes along, and he's just like us, except for one thing. Jesus never sinned. And because Jesus never sinned, he took all of our sins on himself. And then what happened? He died on Good Friday. And there's no sin on him, but he died anyway for us. And guess what? Took care of the problem of death, and Jesus came back to life again, never again to die. And we think, well, that's really neat for Jesus. But then Jesus made this really neat promise. He said, because I live, you also will live. What does that mean? That means that Jesus says, trust me that I've done this for you. I've taken care of the problem of death. I want you to trust me in this, because when it comes time for you to die, I don't want you to be afraid. I remember children are always kind of scared when balloons go popping. Some children cry because they're all broken. And that happens with death too. We're all sad. But believing in Jesus Christ, I come to death, and guess what happens? Jesus lives inside of me. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. That's the good news of Easter. The good news of Easter is that we are walking little miracles. There is part of us that will never, ever die. And God says on the last day, he's going to bring us back to life again. So we can be with him body and soul forever and ever. And that is the good news we're going to be hearing now as grown-ups. So now, grown-ups, you have to pay attention. It's harder sometimes for grown-ups to pay attention. Just so you know, children, it's harder sometimes. All the grown-ups like children's devotions because we all like to learn. God's word for our meditation is taken from the last book of the Bible. By the way, the last book of the Bible is not Revelations. It's Revelation. And it's not the revelation of John. What's the last book of the Bible? The revelation of Jesus Christ given to his servant John. We're going to look at John, Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11. Awesome, awesome words. I saw heaven standing open, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. His eyes are like blazing flames, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him which no one knows except he himself. He is clothed in a garment that has been dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies in heaven, which were clothed with white, clean, fine linen, were following him on white horses. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will shepherd them with an iron staff. He himself is going to trample the winepress of the fierce anger of the Almighty God, and on his garment and on his thigh, this name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. If you're looking at us, we are going through a strange time. We're going through a strange time, and now we're at a strange book. In fact, this is a book that hardly anybody ever reads. Even though the very first chapter, the Lord Jesus says, blessed are you if you read it, because it's God's word. We are sequestered from each other. We are apart from each other, not because we're afraid, but because we don't want other people to get something by accident that we might have by accident from somebody else. And so until the Lord lets this plague pass, we're separate from one another. A temporary thing. Just so that you know, in this time of the Apostle John, he was separated from fellow believers as well. Except it was not done voluntarily. See, they wanted to get rid of the Apostle John. They wanted to get rid of him because he was just causing trouble. This is the Apostle John. He causes trouble because he keeps on preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The Apostle John keeps on preaching that Jesus is love, that God is love, and we are to love one another. He keeps on preaching those things, and that's a dangerous thing. In the Roman Empire, that was bad. You can't control people like that. There's no fear. So what did they do? They took all their might and muscle of the political empire at that time, and they put John on an island in the middle of the ocean. The island is called Patmos. And they put him there away from everybody so he could just get old and die. Kind of lonely. We know what that feeling is like, don't we? Separated from our family and friends, we know just a little bit about what that's like, but we don't know the feeling of being pushed off somewhere, away from everything, so that you can just die. The Lord knows how we are made. He knows that we're made of dust. He knows that we're here for a little while. He knows all the temptations that come our way with the sadness that comes our way. And so the Lord gave a wonderful vision to the Apostle John. And what he did is he showed all of history again and again and again. Seven times he shows world history to John. And the whole theme is that Jesus is the winner. He wins. He is the victor, and the victory is ours because he's alive. He has total authority even over death, and we're safe. John needed to hear that. He was all alone. He was feeling kind of weak. He was also a pastor, and he was worried about his people. His people were hurting. They're all over the planet. How can he help them? The Lord said, "Don't worry. I have pastor and people in my hands. The victory is Easter, and Jesus gives us the victory. He's alive." That truth is so important to understand again and again. It is stressed in the scriptures. Christ has been raised from the dead. There is no doubt about it. He appeared many times to his disciples, one time to a group of 500 people. And all of those letters that were written and all the gospels that were written, they were written while those people were still alive. Any one of them could have said, "No, no, that didn't happen." Jesus is alive. And that makes all the difference in the world. That means he has total authority. Authority even over death. That means that he has authority even over this virus that's plaguing the planet right now. Almost 200 countries are dealing with this terrible scourge on the planet. God knows that. For some reason, this is part of God's plan. I don't know what it is. God has not revealed it to me. All I know is that whatever's in front of me, the Lord tells me to serve him first, most, and best, and to love people like he loves me. Well, how much does Jesus love me? If you look at this reading again, it's truly remarkable. It says, "I saw heaven standing open." Standing open. That means somebody opened it up, because heaven has been locked because we're sinners, but somebody opened it up, and as he's looking, he sees who opened it up. The rider on the white horse. White horses are used in victory. And guess what? His name is Faithful, True, Word of God. This is Jesus on that horse. And he's riding out, and he lets John see a picture of what's going on. And you see that his robes are stained blood red. On Easter is where you and I come to grips with this phenomenal thing. That the one who rules over everything chose to become one of us and lived in our place and died in our place. He was beaten up, bloodied, paid for our sin. And because of that, Easter comes along and we're back to life again. On Easter is where death and the payment for sin was taken care of, and it meets life. And you and I, that's how we go through life. Understanding that Jesus Christ paid our debt and has delivered us. So we are free with him. Free of sin, free of guilt, free of fear. He's dressed in a robe, dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord that we serve is no longer a quiet little lamb. He's no longer a little baby that came quietly in Bethlehem that only a few people were aware of. John sees all of history wrapped up on that one last great day where Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. Those who rebel against him join Satan and the demons in hell. There is no escape. But those who trust that he did what he said he did live forever. If you're still wondering what to do, the Lord says, trust me in this. He is a patient God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he came again and again. Notice how often he appears on Easter. And what happens? Nobody wants to believe that he's alive. How foolish. And we're still that way. We still think that Jesus does not have authority over our problems because they're so big compared to death. Jesus made a promise that he was going to raise himself back to life. The Father says, I totally agree with that, and he also raised Jesus back to life. The Holy Spirit said, I totally agree with that, and he also raised Jesus. All three persons of the Holy Trinity were involved in raising the Lord Jesus back to life again because God wants us to know that our sin has been gone. It's removed, washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came back to life, not with an iron fist to terrify us for our sins. The words from his mouth, peace. The war is over. I fought the war in your place. I died death in your place. I defeated death. And I give you the victory to join with me in heaven forever and ever. So, my dear friends, believe that. I want to see you in heaven. All of us here want to see you in heaven. All of my members and my friends want to see you in heaven. But more than that, Jesus wants to see you in heaven and give you everlasting life that's already been purchased and paid for. So, in his name, let's live that way this week. As children of the living God on our way home to heaven, not being afraid, but being joyful. Amen.